Today on Seculo, Democrats unhinged at an FBI whistleblower hearing.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo. This hearing is ongoing before the Judiciary Committee. It's a follow-up hearing on the weaponization of the federal government. It's in that subcommittee of the Judiciary Committee, but Chairman Jordan still oversees that. There are Democrats on the committee as well. And there were FBI whistleblowers that were coming to testify to the committee and the subcommittee on the weaponization of the federal government. Both of them, in the process of coming to testify, have had their security clearances pulled. So that's a big statement right there from the FBI, as if they cannot be officially whistleblowers and get the whistleblower protection that would usually be in place that would protect them from retaliation against the agency they are blowing the whistle on. Of course, they're trying to smear these individuals, but I don't think the smears work. In one case, they're saying, you know, he shared counter information about January 6th. Well, if you're doing an investigation, you share information. The FBI agent's job is not to just take everything for truth from one source and not investigate another source. Their job is to look at all of the different sources, put the information together, analyze it, and then decide how to move forward. Another one of the agents is explained today how they used domestic violent extremism. Remember, we learned from the January 6th arrest that instead of treating that as one case, which would be the normal FBI practice, because it all happened in Washington, D.C., instead, they treated them state by state, town by town. So they were able to report all these domestic violent extremism incidents all over the country, but they were all the same event. So it should have been, hey, we had a problem on January 6th, but we did not have a widespread problem all over the United States. These are all the same people that did the same thing. So that's what they were testifying to, and they have been attacked today. So the FBI's pulled their clearance. One was suspended without pay, and when he was suspended without pay, he had just moved his family to a new assignment and get suspended the next day. They have to beg to get jackets and food because their home materials that were being shipped by the FBI for their relocation. When he was suspended, he no longer had access to his actual family's personal belongings. So they had to beg friends and loved ones for help because they were running out of money. He was also suspended without pay to be able to keep themselves warm. That's how they have been treated by Christopher Wray's FBI, overseen by Merrick Garland's Department of Justice. If you speak up, we will destroy you. Okay, that has been the message we have seen. We saw it in the Durham report. We've seen it on Donald Trump. If you decide to shake up the norm in Washington, and if you're willing to speak out about the problems within, we are going to try and destroy your life, your credibility, and your family. And that is what is happening to these brave agents who are testifying today about wrongdoing inside the FBI, how the FBI is not following their procedures. They're not doing all the research they should. They are falsifying how they report cases to make it look like there's more of a problem than there actually is. It was interesting. One of the agents, Logan, got moved to the Joint Terrorism Task Force to investigate domestic violent extremism, but his superior told him, as he testified, stay on child pornography because there's really nothing to investigate in domestic violent extremism. But when you mark it down, mark it that you're researching DVE.
Right, because that was the big gotcha term at the moment, was DVE, domestic violent extremism. What do you think? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We're going to break. We'll take as many calls as we can on this and other topics coming up later on. Mike Pompeo will be joining us. We're going to cover a lot of topics. And take your calls for sure. We'd love to hear from you. You start getting towards the end of the week. I know maybe your thoughts have been going wild. Now it's time to call, 1-800-684-3110. Always support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org, where you can make your donation, where you can also, though, see all the incredible free resources and great content that we provide. If you're watching right now on Rumble or any of our platforms, follow, subscribe, whatever it is on that platform. We'd appreciate it right now. Do that while we're in a break. We really would appreciate it. Help spread the word of the ACLJ. We'll be right back.
podcast with your friends and family as the subcommittee on the weaponization of the federal government agencies, specifically law enforcement agencies like the DOJ and FBI, is ongoing. And, of course, the FBI agents who came to testify have all been retaliated against by the FBI. I mean, this is just a truth. They have had their security clearance revoked. They've been suspended without pay. They have lost their positions. And that's just because, in some cases, they put one of the guy's jobs was to research open source news and then share it with investigators. So he shared news about people who said, well, what was the FBI doing on January 6th? And they said, well, he was a conspirator just because he shared that news, because he decided that maybe the FBI needs to look at everything instead of just one viewpoint, not because the one is right and one is wrong, but look at everything that's out there instead of like how they did with the Steele dossier where they just took it as fact, didn't do their work. I mean, how many examples do we need? But you understand how tough it is when the FBI blatantly retaliates against these officials the moment they're scheduled to testify to the American people and to these congressional committees. Their security clearance are revoked. Their careers are effectively over. And that is not how it should work in the United States. That's how whistleblower protections work in the United States. I want to play. Do we have Congresswoman Sanchez trying to go after the tweet? Okay, so this is the insanity of the Democrats. So you have Congresswoman Sanchez, a Democrat from California, and she is trying to go after this one FBI member who is testifying today and say that, use his Twitter account. His name is Marcus Allen. And just take a listen to this insane exchange where she just wouldn't give it up, even though she was caught making a story up.
Thank you. Mr. Allen, have you ever used Twitter? Yes or no?
I have utilized Twitter, yes.
Okay, and is your account at Marcus A97050645?
That is absolutely not my account.
Okay, that's not your account. Well, on December 5th, 2022, an account under the name Marcus Allen retweeted a tweet that said,
that quote, is not my account, ma'am.
You haven't let me finish the question,
sir.
You might
have been the football player.
On December 5th, 2022, an account under the name of Marcus Allen retweeted a tweet that said, quote, Nancy Pelosi staged January 6th, retweet if you agree, end quote. Do you agree with that statement? Yes or no?
No, ma'am. That's not my account at all.
I'm asking
idea.
Whether you agree with that statement, yes or no?
Can you please rephrase the statement?
Yeah. Do you think the gentlelady has expired? Staged January 6th. I just want him to answer.
He'll answer. Yeah, he'll answer. I'm just telling you your time's up.
Do you believe that Nancy Pelosi, do you agree with the statement that this person tweeted that Nancy Pelosi staged January 6th?
No.
Okay, so she thinks she's got a gotcha moment because she finds a Twitter account.
With a name that's pretty, Marcus Allen. It's not like you found another Logan Sekulow. It's like there's not very many out there.
And with all the numbers and the goofiness. Okay, but yeah. And then, is this you? No. Well, I'm not done with my question. Okay, so you already know you failed as a congresswoman in this gotcha moment. But Logan, she wouldn't let up. She still said, well, let me tell you what the tweet said that it wasn't yours. Do you agree with the tweet that was not your tweet? And all he says is no.
Yeah, let me just pull a random tweet out of thin air, which essentially what it is. And going, do you agree with this? Do you agree with this person's ramblings? Whether he did or not, why would you ever, when you don't know who you're talking about, you know what you're also saying yes to. It's one of those sad moments where you realize that all of these moments are used for politicization. None of it is really used for why even anyone is there in the first place. And it always goes back to another January 6th thing, even multiple years later. And not that it wasn't an important date and it shouldn't be something that we talk about, but it is something that we need to, for these kind of situations, hopefully move forward from.
Yeah, I mean, this is Linda Sanchez again. The entire hearing, she thinks, is about somehow pushing January 6th under the rug, when in fact, it gives them opportunities to talk about it. In fact, she tries to make the whole hearing about it. Take a listen.
I think it's important that we recognize this hearing for what it actually is. Make no mistake, this hearing is a vehicle to legitimize the events of January 6th and the people who perpetrated it. And why? Because Donald Trump is running for president again.
No, this hearing is because the FBI has been out of control. The way they've treated pro-life protesters,
Yeah.
Showing up at their door. This happened
this
again?
This just happened. I think the footage came out yesterday. I'm not sure exact time of when it happened, which was a pro-life protester, actually a liberal pro-life protester.
Yep.
This is their sort
group.
Of like a subgroup that's, they're like, a lot of them are like feminist, but like extreme feminist to the point of where you're going, yeah, they still believe that life is precious. They had FBI agents show up at the mother of this person's house, and they said were very persistent and wouldn't let the mother take pictures of them and not know who they were. Was very interesting. And by the way, mother, this is like an adult woman. This isn't like a child here. And eventually, the FBI are trained on a lot of things, but I guess what they're not trained on is the Ring doorbell, because she put out the footage that showed the whole interaction, which again, wasn't like that they were unpleasant to her. But as soon as that, imagine, someone just shows up at your door and says, hey, I'm here at the FBI and I'm looking for your daughter. It's a panic-inducing moment. I don't care if it's the nicest, sweetest FBI agent in the world.
Listen to what happened to Agent O'Boyle. I mean, take a listen to this. This is how nasty Christopher Wray is allowing his own agents to be treated because they don't walk the exact line. They sometimes question, isn't that what you want inside your FBI? Agents who question the groupthink, who say, hey, before we go this route, shouldn't we consider this? It doesn't mean they're going to agree, but shouldn't we consider it? Shouldn't we investigate everything before we bring charges against people, or before we tell the country that the number one problem is domestic violent extremism because we're making up those numbers? Can't we at least question that before we do it? Well, the answer is right now at the FBI, no, you can't. Listen to what happened to him.
In weaponized fashion, the FBI allowed me to accept orders to a new position halfway across the country. They allowed us to sell my family's home. They ordered me to report to the new unit when our youngest daughter was 2 weeks old. Then, on my first day on the new assignment, they suspended me, rendering my family homeless. They refused to release our goods, including our clothes, for weeks. All I wanted to do was serve my country by stopping bad guys and protecting the innocent.
I mean, there it is. Right there, Logan. I mean, that's the kind of nastiness of how the
all
FBI...
All I wanted to do was serve my country by stopping bad guys and protecting
them. Many of them are veterans, too. They were veterans who had served in the military before they joined the FBI. I mean, they've served in conflict. But they dared question the groupthink of the FBI, which is that, hey, we are jacking up numbers to make it look like there's a problem in the country that isn't a real problem in the country.
Yeah.
Like, how about fentanyl and drug trafficking as the real problem, not domestic violent extremism? The number one killer of 18 to 45 is fentanyl. And you know what one of the FBI's jobs is? To stop organized crime and drug dealers and cartels. But instead, they want to make it out to be it's somehow this DVE or radical Catholics that they're going to try. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Not that long
that
ago.
That was
a couple
real,
weeks ago.
Folks. Radical Catholics, traditionalist Catholics, that they were going to investigate and actually sent a resource inside a Catholic church because they were Catholics who actually believed and practiced their faith.
Yeah, absolutely. You want to go ahead and take a quick call?
Yeah.
Let's go to Jim, who's calling on Oregon on line 3. Jim, welcome.
Yeah, I was wondering, have they gone totalitarian? And I thought whistleblower laws would apply to them.
Well, see, do we have that sound on the whistleblower issue, how they have basically tried to revoke their whistleblower status? That's how the Democrats started the hearing today. They said, you're not real whistleblowers.
Yeah, they just want to get rid of that idea.
Well, I mean, if we don't have real whistleblowers in the U.S. government, we have a real problem. Because that's how Congress, which gives them the budget, learns about wrongdoing so that it can be fixed. It's a really necessary process. It doesn't happen often. But whistleblowers come forward when they believe that the FBI has gone or other government agencies have gone off course. Take a listen to this insane exchange that Jim Jordan has to take part in with Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the former failed DNC chair. Take a listen.
That when it comes to whistleblowers, you are not entitled to it. That's
these
at the discretion of Mr. Allen.
Mr. Chairman, these individuals
said,
have been determined not to be whistleblowers. These are not whistleblowers. They've been determined by the agency not to be whistleblowers. Are you deciding that they're whistleblowers?
Yes, the law decides. Did you not listen to Mr. Levitt's testimony? Did you not read the law?
His
the law decides that they are whistleblowers.
His attorney
the chair
is
recognizes the gentlelady from
the
New
law
York.
Has not determined
the gentlelady from New York
has
been recognized.
The law has not determined they are whistleblowers. His attorney is just asserting that.
Okay. When you're the head of the committees, I know the Democrats don't like this. Guess who gets to make the decisions? Jim Jordan and his team. And so if you take the law and you apply it as you say, I want to give them congressional whistleblower protection, That is not up to the FBI to offer, Logan. Right. Of course they don't want to give that protection to their own people to come testify bad things about them. But that's not how it works, because then no one would be a whistleblower, because there wouldn't be any. So what they do is Congress gets to decide who gets whistleblower protection. In this case, the chair of the committee of the Judiciary Committee decided to grant that status. You go and you proffer what you have to say. And then they say, okay, is that enough for us to grant you whistleblower status so that you have the congressional protection? It's a process. It went through Chairman Jordan's team. The Democrats just don't like that they have no control over that right now. But they lost control of the House of Representatives. I mean, thank God we took back the House so we can at least see how the Democrats, the liberals, are willing to do the bidding for the FBI and the CIA. I thought that they were all against all those groups, and they don't like law enforcement. Oh, but they love political law enforcement. Support our work. Donate today, ACLJ.org. I want to play Congresswoman Harriet Hageman, who is from Wyoming, and thank goodness she replaced Liz Cheney, who tried to do her, write-in campaign or something like that in the hills of things. Like, we want more Cheneys. We really trust them to make good decisions. Go to Byte 14.
To be blunt, the leadership of the FBI and the DOJ are corrupt. I will name names. Christopher Wray and Mary Garland are corrupt. They know it. We know it. And the American people know it.
This is quite a time in our country where members of Congress are willing to, in their official capacities, not for a campaign ad, but during a congressional hearing, to tell the American people, very, very sobering, really, that we have corrupt leaders at the Department of Justice and FBI. That doesn't mean you just disagree with their politics or you disagree with their policies. That would be different. But actual corruption in the way that they are utilizing the top law enforcement agencies in the United States of America. It's a sobering statement. It's a reason why we must take the power back and reform. And we are fighting for that reform all the time in the ACLJ, Logan. We fought the FBI. We fought the IRS. We are constantly in those battles. We know about the corruption. We know about the targeting of Americans. We've been fighting the battle for over a decade, almost two decades, with these government agencies that are out of control. I am glad that Congress and the American people are finally waking up to just how outrageous it is that this is where our taxpayers' dollars are going. And it is why, folks, it is why when the FBI knows about the mass shooters but did nothing, it is why they do nothing about the fentanyl coming across our border and to go after the cartels, because they've redefined their mission. And their mission is to go after conservatives.
Yeah, and I think you should listen to another bite from Friend. Let's go to bite 8.
Working as an FBI special agent was my dream job. My whistleblowing was apolitical and in the spirit of upholding my oath. Nonetheless, the FBI cynically elected to close ranks and attack the messenger. The FBI is incentivized to work against the American people and in dire need of drastic reform, particularly in these areas.
Okay, this is an FBI agent telling you that it has been designed and incentivized. That means they're getting protection from the executive branch, from the White House, to go after the American people, against the American
people, and to politicize it all, yep, and to make it all part of this this big, you don't want to say conspiracy, but a big issue that's happening within all,
it seems like, the top conspiracy theorists.
It's happening in all ranks of our government right now. It's not just at the FBI. You see it all over the place. They're all, feels like there's big collusion happening between the FBI, the DOJ, the IRS, all the three-letter entities all seem to be working for one common goal, which is, again, targeting individuals because of their political or religious beliefs.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and take another call. Let's go to Jerry in Rhode Island on line one. Jerry, you're on the air.
Hey, Jared.
Hey, team. We're talking about revocation of security clearances again a couple years later.
Yep.
The timing of which, by the way, I know you guys watched it. These guys are very credible, very articulate, and the timing of the chilling effect placed on them. When were some of these revocations done? Well after the suspension, but right before this hearing.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So it could be used.
One was done like 3 weeks ago. One was done 2 days ago, Logan. I mean, the FBI isn't even trying to hold back. They know, and I will say, Christopher Wray's a Republican. Okay, so this is not just a Republican-Democrat problem. This is, as I say, a swamp problem, an elites problem. We've got to get rid of these people inside our government. We cannot have this group who feels like they are, again, accountable to no one, and accountable to no American people, not accountable to Congress. They attack their whistleblowers, even when they get whistleblower protection, and they have willing accomplices in the Democrat Party, Logan. That's the scary part of this, is you not only just have bad actors inside the FBI, the Democrats, who used to be the party that would question all these agencies, is now the party that just loves...
is running them, essentially.
Loves big law enforcement.
Yeah, it does feel
that
way.
They want to defund your local police, but they want to give more money to the CIA and FBI.
And it's not even a theory at this point. These are all like facts. These are all people coming out, these FBI agents coming out saying these things. These are the Hunter Biden team being dismantled, you know, at the IRS by direction of the DOJ. This is the kind of stuff that's happening in plain sight at this point. So who knows what's happening behind the scenes?
Oh, if this is who is willing to come forward, let me tell you, most people aren't. They're not as brave as these agents are.
They're going to risk their jobs and their careers.
You saw what happened to their families. I mean, everything taken away from them, and the FBI won't even let them get their personal belongings.
Said he was homeless and had no clothes.
Yes. This is how we're treating agents of the FBI.
All right, let's continue on and take some more calls. Let's go to Diane, who's calling from Nevada on line two. Diane, you're on the air.
Hi. The reason I called is, and I'm sure most Americans are really tired of the strong-arm tactics of these organizations. And I'm wondering if the ACLJ, through its action program, would set up a fund for these agents and let us donate. Because I think the American public can make it clear that we're not going to put up with this kind of thing. You know, maybe they don't have congressional oversee, but they have American public oversee.
Yeah, Diane, I think that's an interesting comment. We appreciate it. And I think there's a lot of people who feel that way. The ACLJ and ACLJ Action, it's not exactly how we would take care of it, but we do get involved in these issues. It gets very important to us, whether that's legally or whether that's in Washington with ACLJ Action. There's a lot of ways to do it. We don't really have it set up to be a fund for people, if you will. That's not our role. There may be other places that can do it, but that's not our specialty. What our specialty, Jordan, is representing people who need it. If these FBI agents want representation, we can be there for them.
Absolutely. And if you need representation, you go to aclj.org/help. If you've had the FBI show up at your door, contact us at aclj.org/help. We want to fight alongside you. And again, we do it at no cost to you. So you don't have to worry about hiring a law firm and trying to convince them to take your case, which, by the way, is getting tougher and tougher for conservatives to do anyways. They don't want to take these cases. Yeah. We do at the ACLJ, aclj.org/help. So if you've had the FBI show up at your door, or you think the FBI is someone's around your church asking bizarre questions that sound like a law enforcement agent, we want to hear from you. We want you to contact us. We will fight back, aclj.org/help. I do want to take a minute, too. In North Carolina, there's a Democrat governor, but a Republican legislature. ACLJ Action got involved there very quickly, and it's a big win for life in North Carolina. So this week, the North Carolina legislature overrode the governor's veto of SB 20, the Care for Women, Children, and Families Act, which puts in place a 12-week abortion restriction. The previous law allowed abortions up to 20 weeks. This is a major win because we've had a lot of setbacks in the states. This governor vetoed the legislation, but because we actually organize rallies at ACLJ Action, we are part of organizing grassroots activities. You can learn about it at aclj action.org. It's also on our social media accounts about what we did to mobilize in North Carolina. But a huge pro-life victory there because the legislature said, no, governor, we were elected by the people. We're going to override your veto, and that restriction, which is similar to the restriction in Mississippi, is now in place. More lives being saved.
That's right. Hey, if you don't get us for the next half hour, some local stations don't care. If you're listening on terrestrial radio, find us broadcasting live right now on Rumble and on aclj.org. You can also find us on Facebook and YouTube as well. At aclj.org, you can find all the sources there. If you do lose us here and you got to get out of here, join us later on, archived on the podcast feed, on Rumble, on YouTube. Most importantly, stay tuned. We got another half hour coming. Mike Pompeo is joining us, and we will take your calls, 1-800-684-4. 3110. Support the work of the ACLJ when you can at aclj.org, because we will represent you and you can help us do that. So go to aclj.org.
Keeping you informed and engaged now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. The House Judiciary Committee Subcommittee on the Weaponization of Government, thank God that exists, has had these FBI whistleblowers testify today. The Democrats just tried to stop them from even getting whistleblower protection. But that's something Congress grants. And guess who gets to grant it? The majority power party, who oversees the Judiciary Committee, who's in control of the Judiciary Committee. So they can complain all they want and try to disrupt the hearing, which they tried to do. But when they actually started their questionings, they looked foolish. We played one about a tweet, and it wasn't even from the agent's actual Twitter account. It was from just one that had the similar name. And even when he said, no, that's not my account, she didn't try to push him on, yeah, well, yes, it is. She acknowledged that and then said, well, still let me read the tweet. Do you agree with it? Some random person's, like you said, Logan, ramblings. Nothing against that person's account, but it was like, why does he have to respond to some random rando? Again, not a government official, not someone who was being charged, just somebody's musings.
Could be a bot.
Yes. In fact, it looked like a bot kind of name. So, again, we're kind of breaking it down for you. I want you to take a list. I love Congresswoman Kat Kamick out of Florida. She breaks this down as well because, you know, we're always told we're the conspiracy theorist. Really? The guys who just took hook, line, and sinker the Steele dossier, seems like they're the conspiracy theorists. They're the most salacious comments possible. Oh, an actual laptop with actual info from Hunter Biden, that's not real. We're going to gaslight you on that. That can't be actual. That's got to be Russian disinformation. I mean, they made some great AI graphics and also text that was fairly realistic. But, of course, that was all gaslighting. It was all a lie. For political purposes, when the CIA is getting involved in politics, when the FBI is playing politics, and you are hearing it from the agents yourself, it's up to us to do something. And we know what we have to do. We have to drain this swamp and get the elites out of Washington. It's not just a Republican issue. There are issues with plenty of Republicans, too. But not Kat Kamick. Take a listen.
You know, I know a lot of people back home are wondering, you know, we hear about this weaponization. You guys get up here, you investigate, but nothing ever seems to happen. Think about this for a minute, though. Why this is so critical that we are investigating the weaponization of the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the Department of Justice. As was pointed out, if you are a parent and you attend a school board meeting, there could be an FBI agent in the parking lot scribbling down your license plate number. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is actually testimony that these brave whistleblowers have given us. That is not America that I know. If you are a Catholic and you want to attend Catholic Mass, perhaps there is an informant inside reporting on what you are doing inside. This is the thing that novels are written about. This is spy movies.
But it's happening. Those are all just instances of truth that she just went through. We know about the school boards. We know about the fake domestic violent extremism. So they've told us how they have used those numbers to make it look like it's a national problem. And they say it's the number one problem. Not fentanyl, not drug cartels, which are the number one killer of people between the ages of 18 and 45. Not domestic violent extremism. That's not the number one killer of anyone. The number one killer of people between the ages of 18 and 45 is a drug that's made in China, put together by cartels in Mexico, and then taken across our poor southern border. But the FBI, that's not the real problem they need to figure out, right? They don't need to actually save American lives. No, they want to go after pro-life activists, people who speak at school board meetings, who are upset at what their kids are learning. This is, again, it is important that we remember all of this as we get into another election year. Because we can make a change. We don't have to accept this as the norm. We need to gather all the facts. Don't be discouraged and continue to fight back. There are good people inside these agencies. We need to protect them. We need to elevate them. We need to make sure they rise to the top of these agencies. And we're about to talk to a former director of the CIA. Because all of these issues, again, who's at the top, who sets the tone, is so important. And right now, the people setting the tone are setting a tone against us. Support the work of the ACLJ, ACLJ.org. Secular. We're joined now by our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, former Secretary of State and CIA Director Mike Pompeo. And Secretary Pompeo, I want to go to you first because I haven't had an opportunity to ask you yet directly on the broadcast. Your reaction to the Durham report?
Boy, it's heartbreaking to see that our government, our FBI, behaved in a way that is so deeply inconsistent with their integrity, their ethics, the basic norms of American law. We now know that a Hillary Clinton-launched effort was a true Russia hoax. I lived this, Jordan. I lived the Russia hoax for 2.5 years of my time in the Trump administration, where we were under attack, that President Trump and those around him were Putin puppets. And it turns out, and we've known this for a while, Durham simply confirmed this. It turns out that they were the ones that were putting a hoax on the American people, that were attempting to propagate a storyline that they knew not to be true. And Secretary Clinton, Congressman Schiff, and Andy McCabe, Jim Comey, all of those that were involved in this need to be held accountable. There has to be a mechanism by which people who misled the American people at an incredibly important time in American history can't get away with precisely what it is we now know they did with absolute certainty.
I want to actually get to that because, you know, that's something our listeners, as you can tell, that, you know, they get frustrated. Our supporters and a lot of supporters of your work as Secretary of State and the Trump administration, and they get frustrated, not because we get the facts and we know the truth, but that the accountability, instead of, you know, getting gigs on MSNBC and being treated as heroes, it doesn't feel like, again, these agents who created this narrative can be held accountable. There's a difficult time. I'm interested to see Secretary Pompeo Durham's testimony, because I have an inclination. It's like, unless you go after process crimes, we might not have the right laws on the books, because we might not have thought this was a serious enough issue in the United States that we needed specific legislation on the FBI meddling in U.S. elections. So I think it's actually something Congress, in their oversight role, legislative role, and you're a member of Congress as well, can look at, is whether or not, if Durham testified, said, you know, one of the issues we faced is that we don't have the right laws on the books.
Two thoughts come to mind. Well, first of all, that may well be, and there may be things we can do. You know, the FBI's response was, don't worry, we've already fixed all this. That's just crazy. That's not true. Because in the end, this fix is about leadership. This fix is about the director of the FBI and the attorney general, appointed by presidents of the United States, holding these bad actors accountable. Andy McCabe, for goodness sakes, we know he lied. We know he lied under oath, and we know he got his pension back. I mean, this is crazy. And he's now got a gig on TV and he comes out and says, oh, Durham didn't learn anything. No, we learned an awful lot about what all of these characters, Peter Strzok, we know exactly what they were doing. These were Trump haters. They didn't like what we were working on, and they were trying to undermine our effort to both for President Trump to get elected initially. And then this continues. I was January 6th, 2017. I was sitting with Comey, Brennan, and Clapper when they briefed President Trump at Trump Tower and essentially told him that he was a Russian asset. And we knew it wasn't true. They have to be held accountable. In the end, I'm counting on the American people and voters to get this right. Our founders knew this, too. You can't create a law for everything. But the senior leadership at the FBI doesn't possess the very integrity, the very ethics that are at the heart of American law enforcement and American justice. And for that, the senior leaders need to be held accountable.
That's where it seems to be the problem. I think you're right. You can't. I mean, that's part of America. We don't just create a law for everything. We're not trying to create a police state in that sense. And that we ultimately, as voters, can hold these individuals accountable. They are appointed by the presidents that we elect. They are confirmed by the senators that we elect. So we have a huge say in how that process works. It does seem to, I mean, at your time as Secretary of State and CIA Director, overseeing very important, huge government agencies. When you look at this, it does seem like it's the leadership problem. It doesn't seem like it's the problem down with most staff. There's always bad apples in huge organizations, but that it's this leadership issue that has gotten obsessed with putting politics ahead of everything. I mean, like, and really partisan politics, not just implementing the policies of the president who's in charge. That's okay. But we're talking about implementing programs and deception campaigns to impact politics in America.
Jordan, I must say, when I read the Durham report, and I've now read all 300 plus pages of it, it brought back memories from my time, mostly at the State Department, where you did have big bureaucracies that were intent on working against the mission of the President of the United States. That is abhorrent to our founders' idea of how the Constitution should work. I'll say this for conservatives, for those of us who try to find the sunny side in everything and always just assume good faith, we now know that good faith in the leadership of these institutions is not something that they have earned. And so the next president of the United States, when he takes over or she takes over, has got to do some enormous ripping and tearing at these institutions. We cannot count on the fact that these folks are actors trying to get it right. These are political partisans. We saw that in the Durham report in spades. He alludes to it. I'm surprised he didn't attempt to prosecute for some of this. He talks about the fact that these were partisan actors knowingly taking information from a political campaign and then flipping it on its head and working really hard to take down President Trump and not going after real risks that Director Brennan had to brief to Barack Obama. He saw what the Clinton campaign was doing and he said, oh my gosh, we have intelligence that tells us that the Clinton campaign is trying to tell a story that is false. He felt like he had to go brief it to the President of the United States, and yet the Justice Department and the FBI did nothing to stop this. It is so outrageous. You could tell. It gets my blood boiling. This is so dangerous to our democracy. If you compare what happened in this incident to the hoodlums that rioted in January 6th at the Capitol, this is deeper. This is longer term. This presents a greater risk to our republic than even the day that CNN and MSNBC wants to tell you that was so horrific on January 6th of 2021.
It's interesting you say that because, you know, today there's a hearing by Congressman Jordan and his subcommittee on the weaponization of the federal government. And he's got these FBI whistleblowers who have come forward. And most of the hearing, the Democrats were trying to attack the FBI agents who are given this whistleblower status by Congress. That's who grants it. And who have come out and said they were talking about the domestic violent extremism issue. And one of those whistleblowers was the one who said, you know, it was the way they decided to go out against policy. And they told us to, instead of treating it as one event on January 6th, we're going to treat it all locally, so all by different towns and cities, and we'll map it out all over the country and tell everybody this is the number one problem in America. Not fentanyl, not a porous border, not organized crime and the cartels killing Americans with fentanyl. It's the number one killer of Americans between the ages of 18 and 45. But that the real issue with the country is domestic violent extremism. So he had an issue with that. And the way the Democrats tried to rip them apart at this hearing today, to me, it's bizarre to see kind of the Democrat Party be the party of big law enforcement, I guess federal law enforcement. They want to defund our local police, but keep funding the politicized police in Washington.
You know, Jordan, I haven't had a chance to see those hearings, but we've heard this same narrative before over and over again about, you know, we have to rein in the local law enforcement officers. Frankly, the men and women who are out on the street every day actually delivering security and safety for the American people in both big cities and smaller places, rural places like my home state of Kansas. These are the warriors to keep us safe. And yet these bureaucrats, these federal officials who do white collar stuff and are focused singularly on these national things, watch this horrific activity by former Secretary Clinton, where she was, they knew she was actively trying to undermine this election by foisting a false narrative that with the Steele dossier, took up like completely unverified, and they rip into an investigation, destroying the reputations of people who were wholly innocent. And even today, have the national media covering up for them, saying, gosh, Durham didn't find a thing. No, he found an enormous, egregious violation of the decency of America and American law enforcement. And for that, the people, Director McCabe and Comey and Brennan and Clapper, remember, they were also the ones that told the story about Hunter Biden's laptop as well. It is the same cast of characters who have used the mask of intelligence and law enforcement to try and protect them. And they're now making a living off of the fact that they undermined our elections in ways that are fundamentally indecent.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely right. Secretary Pompeo, as always, we appreciate your insight, and we appreciate you being part of our team at the ACLJ. I mean, Logan, when you hear that, I mean, directly from someone who oversaw the CIA, as CIA director, oversaw the State Department, and the issues that you know with the bureaucracy pushing back on you, but literally how these individuals were engaged in election interference, what they accuse us of all the time, yeah. And they become heroes of the left.
Yeah, they become someone who celebrated, end up on TV, as he said, get sweet gigs and book deals. But that's just how it goes. You got to fight on. You got to come up with alternative media. You got to come up with alternative sources for information.
And you got to get them out of power.
Yeah, and absolutely. And then get them off TV. So that happens too. All right. Hey, we are going to take a lot of calls coming up in the next segment. We got a few already on hold, but we got a few lines open. So give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. So we know the political season is ramping up, and you may have heard there is some rumblings that next week, by this time next week, we may have another candidate in the Republican field, and it's the one you've probably all expected.
Calls on DeSantis. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on Seculum. Welcome back to Secchio. We are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. A good friend of ours, Congressman Mike Johnson, Louisiana, was in the exchange. He's on the subcommittee on the weaponization of government. So we've been trying to update you on this hearing today and what occurred with these FBI whistleblowers. We actually believe, unlike Democrats, they are whistleblowers because they were given that status by Congress. You make a proffer, then Congress decides if they will give you the protection of whistleblower status to bring you in to testify. That's just how it works. The Democrats can be mad about the fact that these people are saying things they don't like, but they were trying to take away or strip their whistleblower status somehow. That's because you're not allowed. It's illegal to retaliate against a whistleblower. They've all lost their security clearances. Some have lost jobs. Others have been put on unpaid leave. And they were crying about the situation that put their families in. They could not take care of their families. But why don't you take a listen to this exchange between Congressman Johnson and Agent O'Boyle.
In your transcribed interview with committee members, you stated that federal law enforcement involvement at school board meetings would, in your words, absolutely chill parents from exercising their First Amendment rights. Can you explain a little bit more about what you meant by that?
Yes. So one of the examples given in the congressional letter included an example where a neighbor or somehow someone knew a parent that they believed was extreme, and so they called the FBI and reported that parent to the FBI. When citizens in this country get to a point where they can call the most powerful law enforcement agency in the world on their neighbor just because they disagree with them, that is chilling to the First Amendment rights of the people who are getting the FBI called on them.
I mean, that's Logan. This is when, like, it gets so out of control that a leftist activist calls the FBI because they don't like what a parent said at a school board meeting, and the FBI actually responds. Yeah, they don't just say, you're insane. This is not a law enforcement activity. Goodbye.
Yeah, which sounds crazier, the fact that a parent would report another parent to the FBI.
I believe that. I think that those meetings get very hostile.
Yeah, or the fact that they would respond. I mean, it is pretty wild to think about.
Yes, it's the response part. Yeah, you got the crazy parent who's like, you know, the activist on the left. But it's just, to me, how far the left has gone down the path of big government to, like, police state. They want to defund your local police, but they want the FBI to come in and suppress your speech. And this they support. And, you know, they support it regardless of who's in charge of the White House, because they think they've got the deep state, which I believe they do, on their side. 100%. And that's because they let them start wars, and they let them make their own priorities, and they let them put in place their politics instead of protecting us. But whether it's school board meetings or pro-life activists, that's where the FBI is focusing their time right now. Not on mass shooters, not on the fentanyl crisis. I mean, one of these agents literally testified that they transferred him to be responsible for domestic violent extremism, but his supervisor said there's actually nothing to investigate there, so keep doing your work on child pornography.
Yeah.
Just don't write down you got to write down that you're doing terrorism experience. Investigations, domestic terrorism investigations.
Yeah, let's go ahead and take a couple calls real quick. So you guys hold for a long time. Diane is calling in Florida on line four. You're on the air.
Hello, gentlemen. You are wonderful. Thank you for what you do. Your father spoke in front of the Supreme Court when he was representing President Trump about weaponizing the attorneys all across the United States, bringing massive amounts of.
Yeah.
Well, that precedent is set now. So why aren't the Republicans doing that and going to every red state and let's prosecute these crimes that the federal government is not going to prosecute now that we all know are crimes?
Yeah. Well, I think, listen, the major, first of all, we're better than that in the sense that we're not going to go after people just for political purposes, right? They have to commit actual crimes. And these DAs are local DAs. We're not talking about federal U.S. attorneys. So what we're seeing is absurd work where these local DAs are turning federal issues into local issues by tying them to some random state law, but then also bringing in some federal law. That's what we've seen with Alvin Bragg. But see, where he's focusing his time on going after Donald Trump and going after a good Samaritan in the subway who protected people in an incident in the subway. That's where he's focusing his time. Not on, let's make sure the bad actors in the subway system in New York get arrested. Let's make sure the violent criminals get off the street in New York. No, no. It's on the president, former president of the United States, who is the leading Republican candidate for the Republican Party. And it's the Good Samaritan because, he went too far in protecting people. That's not really how our laws are supposed to work in the U.S. or else no one's going to step up to protect people.
All right, let's go ahead and take one more call. Thomas is calling from Maryland on line one. Thomas, you're on the air.
Hello. I thank the Lord for y'all, and I'm praying for y'all, so thank you. Are these gaslighting tactics just a form of filibustering? And do you think government officials are saying the phrase, what this hearing is actually about, that phrase there? Do you think that's just... Is that like conspiracy or corruption? Do you think they're being paid to say that? Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, I mean, in a sense, they are because they are. It's part of the Democrat Party's talking points. They should have some independence as duly elected members of Congress. That yes, could be part of a political party, but don't just always feel like they've got to be putting out the propaganda of the political party. That sometimes they just want to actually get to the facts. It is not good for the country to have a large chunk of the country lose faith in major government institutions. When that happens, the country falls. You don't have a country anymore. So these politicians, short term, they're using this for political gain, but Logan, long term, you don't trust your government. The government itself, it's not the same country that we were born into.
No, absolutely not. Look, that's why we have important work here. We only got a couple minutes left on the broadcast. I know we were going to talk about the DeSantis announcement, which is coming pretty soon.
On the Secular Brothers podcast.
We'll do it. Yeah, we'll do it later on the Secular Brothers. We got other days to do it, so we got other time to cover it. As you know, though, it's looking like next week will be an official announcement.
A week from today.
Probably a week from today. You may have an announcement of really the only currently right now person getting at least within the percentile difference to make any kind of impact. So it'll be pretty interesting to see how this all plays out starting next week. But we'll cover that later on. Like I said, Secular Brothers, go to secularbrothers.com or just find us on Rumble. We're broadcasting there a couple times a week, and you can find us there later on. Also, though, you need to support the work of the ACLJ. We only got about a minute and a half left. I want to tell you, we do incredible work here, not just what you see to the daily broadcast, but the legal work, the work from our team and our government official team, the ACLJ action team. A lot of people are in place all around the world, not just around the country, to support you, and whether you are the president of the United States or whether you are an individual person in Nevada who is having an issue with their school board or with the stuff that the teachers are forcing your kids to participate in, we are there for you. So once you go to ACLJ.org, not just to donate, obviously we appreciate that. That always helps because that is how we're able to offer these services for free. But to look at the great content that's being produced by incredible people like Mike Pompeo, Rick Grenell, Tulsi Gabbard, and our own team, as well at the ACLJ.
That's right. I mean, at a major pro-life victory this week, a victory for life, there'll be less children aborted in North Carolina because of work ACLJ Action engaged in, working with partners there to make sure the House and the State House and Senate overrode that governor's veto of the law protecting more children from abortion. We're saving lives. So support the work of the ACLJ. If you can, donate today. As Logan said, it's very important. If you can, donate at aclj.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Check us out later on Secular Brothers.